But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an akazo, where results are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
By the grace of God, we are starting a very important discourse titled Marching Orders. Marching Orders. It's going to be a series because I'm very sure we cannot exhaust the course contents today. We're going to do as much as we can, and then God will bless us. Marching orders. Quickly, John chapter 1, verse 6. Quickly, John chapter 1, verse 6. Everybody, let's read together. Outside, if it's projected, say amen. Let's do it together, everybody, inside and outside. 1, 2, go. There was a man sent from God whose name was what? John. Verse 7, quickly. 1, 2, go. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John chapter 1, verse 6 said, there was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. If you can hear me, say amen. There was a man sent from God whose name is Abraham. There was a man sent from God whose name is Ezekiel. There was a man sent from God whose name is Pastor Moses. That you are sent is not enough justification. It's not enough assurance that God's purposes will be fulfilled. Because the next verse, verse 7 said, the same who was sent came. Verse 7, let's read together. 1, 2, go. The same came for a witness. Pause there. The one who was sent and the one who came is the same person. The idea in God's heart when he was launching that man into time, when the man manifested, there was no departure from God's idea versus the person he was seeing. Oh my goodness. Please, with a standing ovation, let's welcome my mother. I didn't see her. Please bring her to the front. Let's welcome my mom. Please, please. My mom is in our midst. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, scripture says, the same came. I want to share something. That's why I'm building this now. It means that, Pastor Onu, God can package you, design you in the realm of eternity, and send you into time to come and effect his purposes. But there is a very active and effective system in the earth called cosmos that is able to give you an alternative purpose different from what God intends for you to come and do. And you can be so busy carrying out those agenda that it might take the few moments of the last days of your life to realize that you have invested all your days in things that Zion has no purpose with. So when heaven wants to factor in your level of faithfulness, it's not measured by work done, it's measured by the will of God. So whether you did a lot of work notwithstanding, was the work that you did, is it the will of God? In this kingdom, men are not rewarded for doing work, they are rewarded for doing the will of the Father. 50 years of hard work can be counted for nothing. 30 years of sacrifice that looks like a religious investment, but if it's not according to the man who was sent, scripture cannot add verse 7 for you. The same came. The same who was sent showed up. Pastor Onu, it also means that when God sends you to the earth, there is a specific purpose that he intends that your arrival will serve. And it is in your serving that purpose that verse 7 will come for your life. The same came. A great generation of people are crying. When will this affliction end? When will this yoke of poverty and struggle end? The result that God answers that prayer with is not money, it's a man. Lord, when would you take away this track record of sickness from this family? The answer to that prayer is not healing, it's a man. Because everything that God gives men are with men. All of the dimension of God you will ever experience will come to you through a man. God will invest himself in a vessel and allow your path transverse that vessel. You will meet God through men. So scripture says, be very careful, for many have met angels unawares. So that Pastor Onu arrived the earth, that Satan could not stop him being born, was not enough assurance that he has started to scratch the will and purpose of God for his life. Because we found out that scripture says a man can gain the whole world and then lose his soul. It is possible to live up to 82 years and men are clapping that a life well spent, and in Zion they are shaking their head and say a failure. Very possible. It's possible that age can accrue, but Zion has no record of any age for you. It's possible that physically and biologically you might be 100 years old, but you have never had the appointment with God, so you are not even 1 year old in the spirit. It's possible that men can live all the days of their life running from pillar to post, going from one place to another. The greatest strength of Satan is distraction. The devil, listen, the challenge of all pioneers, anybody with the anointing of the pioneer, that God puts that grace upon you to bet a dimension, to reveal a depth of him to a people. Anybody with that grace, your greatest temptation is distraction. It's not even sin. The ability to introduce a little deviation from the ordinance of God, that's the fall of pioneers. Pioneers fall by trying to help God. Pioneers fall by trying to go and hold the ark. The ark was going to fall. Pioneers fall by adding 2 centimeters to the 5 cubits that God says, make it 5 cubits. Then they say, let's make it a bit spacious. That's your creativity that you added to the instruction of God. That's the fall of pioneers. And when God sends you, he sends you to come and bet an agenda. He is waiting to see how you will bet it. Satan most of the times knows he cannot stop this thing being betted. So the only thing he counts as his success, he adds other details to this assignment that God did not add. And if you are a student of biochemistry, you will know that just by 0.1 moles of an addition can change the molecular structure of a whole drug. It can turn from a drug to a poison just by a little addition. The purpose that should serve the will of God by a little contribution by Satan, a little addition, it can effectively begin to affront hell. Thank you, sir. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. Scripture says the same came. John chapter 13, quickly, verse 3. John chapter 13, verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him what? Hallelujah. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand. Everybody, inside and outside, let's read this together. And that he was come from... Listen. You are seeing something about this unique man. One of the revelations John sustained is that, number one, I came from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now you are seeing it in Jesus also. Scripture says, and that he was come from who? Come on, let's talk together. From who? One of the first revelations that you must embrace is that I was sent intentionally from God and I'm here on an assignment. I came from God. I did not arrive by mistake.
the circumstances surrounding your birth notwithstanding, I came from God. All of these major patriarchs, they had this understanding. And Jesus, knowing that he was come from God, and went to God. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, scripture speaking, it says, before you were formed in your mother's womb. I'll show you something quickly. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. How can God know somebody that has no form yet? Before your father and your mother knew themselves, God says, I knew you. Who did he know? I thought the shape of your face and your identity was carved out and captured by the biological development of a body that happened inside the womb. Who did God know when he looks at you? Because this form has not been formed. I hope you know. I hope you know that when we share this body, your spirit man does not look like this, right? Let's assume you are trying to cross a road, then unfortunately a car jammed the person. Then he started limping from that day. If you check his spirit is not limping. I hope you know there is no white man spirit and black man spirit. I also know, and I know that you know, that there is no fat spirit and slim spirit. Okay? There is something about our nature that God says he knew even before this body that differentiates us was formed. There is something about who we truly are. Who did God know? Who did God know? A body has not been formed. A name has not been given to you. Yet God says, I know you. He didn't only stop in I know you. He says, and I ordained thee. I chose the path that your step will walk in. I have chosen your career. I have ordained your destiny before you were even formed. You remember what I said earlier? The devil's greatest advantage is distraction. Because there is such a thing called ordination for everybody. There is something God had ordained for every man. This is, if you know how difficult it is for the kingdom to arrange a body for a spirit, you will know that nobody comes by mistake. The kind of probability it takes for that particular sperm cell to be the one to win the biological race and fertilize the egg, if any other sperm cell does it, you won't appear like this. The probabilities were so, the variables were too many. And by divine guidance, by spiritual help, that particular sperm cell that was you, maybe number 2,000,006, won the race in billions of sperm cells pursuing one egg cell to fertilize it. And that one that fertilized it is the only one that can make you look like this. The biological race that there exists. So the fact that it came to this point, God said, even before all this thing happened, I have ordained you. So the first question we attempt to answer, who did God know? Just bow your head 1 minute, Lord. Open my heart and flood light into it. Outside, make sure you are praying. Lord, pour your light in my spirit. Pour light upon my spirit. Who did God know? Hallelujah. So scripture says, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew thee and I ordained thee. How did he know you? Who were you before you had a body? Scripture speaking, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. It means every word that comes out of God's mouth becomes a spirit. Let me share something quickly. Words are the vehicle that spirits journey with. Spirits travel through words. spirits flow with people's words. So when God was saying, the words that I speak, they are spirits and they are life. Your father and mother were praying. They were in pain and agony. Lord, how long shall the enemy prevail over us? How long shall this curse continue to plague the family? Show your salvation. Their petition came to heaven. The moment God opened his mouth and declared from heaven that I have heard your prayer and the years that the canker worm has eaten, I will restore. The moment God was saying this thing, those words were creating a spirit, because the words that God speaks, they become spirits and they are alive. That's how your spirit man was designed. Your spirit man was designed by utterances that came out of the mouth of God, because the words that God speaks, they become spirits and they are alive. Those set of words that God spoke is a description of your purpose in life, because it is the thing he was going to do that bettered a spirit to carry out that action. When God, listen, if God says, I will bless you, if God releases that word, a spirit goes into action. Anything God says is backed by a spirit. But anything God wants to do in the earth, it must be partnered through men. Men are the vessels God used to effect his agenda in the earth. So when God wants to do a thing, he creates a spirit through his words. Then a body will be formed for that spirit. Jesus says, a body has thou formed. All of a sudden, you are in your mother's womb, looking very helpless. Nobody knows that this is the deliverer of the family in the womb. This is a prophecy coming to happen. It looks like a human being, but it's a walking prophecy. The thing you see in that womb is the word of God that became flesh, like Jesus. Words became flesh. I challenge somebody today. What prophecy are you the result of? What prophecy were you sent to come and flesh it out? To come, or should they wait for another? Because we know that there is always a man sent from God. The only question is, did the same come? I have just taken these three Bible references to establish one point: the chronicles of ordination. All of us have ordinations from time immemorial. There were ordinations that God had spoken concerning your family, and it will take a man to come and leave that prophecy out. And I put that question to you again today. Are you the one who is to come? Or should that family, should they cry? Unfortunately, I will be showing us also the chronicles of rebellion, because there are systems in the earth that was carefully structured by darkness to make sure that men are derailed out of the ordinance of God for their life, so that when they check the immortal roster, they will not be able to locate the one who was sent in the earth. Missing in action. The chronicles of rebellion. John chapter 8 verse 44. Let me show you something quickly. Outside and inside, if you are getting blessed, say amen. Outside, if you are getting blessed, say amen. John chapter 8 verse 44. Quickly. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Listen, we'll continue. Let me show you something quickly. Number one, remember the word father, the devil. Just remember this phrase. Then also remember murderer, because I'm going to show us some things. And remember, they associated this murder that it was committed in the beginning. then remember that they say, and he abode not in truth. And if you know what truth is not a valid account of what really happened. Truth is a person. Truth is not what really happened. Truth is a way. I am the way. He abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is what? A liar and the father of what? The father of what? I will show us something quickly. Lord, give us strength. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It's going to be a very strategic reading now. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. If you can see it projected, say amen. The Bible says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Just pay attention. And bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Next verse, quickly. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of what? If you can, please, let's do this together. Cain was a tiller of what? Mind you, scripture initially told us that when men fell, part of the punishment God brought was that he said, curse be the ground for your sake. If you can hear me, say amen. For some strange reason, one of the child that came had an affinity to lead, to guide sheep. Another one had an unusual ability and affinity for the cost, all the things that are associated with cost. That was what he was fraternizing with. Finding a way to benefit out of the cost. Finding a way to make the thing that God put a cost on. To find systems around it. This is the beginning of the system of cosmos. Men looking for all kinds of laws and rules that can make them enter favor and gain, even if they are totally in disregard against God. I'll show you something. And in the process of time, everybody say process of time. The Bible says it came to pass that Cain brought fruit of the ground, the same area where a curse has been laid. Let me share something with you. Whatever God's seal of favor, whatever is not powered by the help of God, whatever you take compromise to get can never be acceptable to in the sight of God. And he brought fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. I know they told you in Sunday school that the reason why God rejected Cain's offering is that he kept all the nice fruits for himself. Then he took all the abaluma and all the things that have all kinds of marks and scars. That he brought the bajie tomato. Is that really true? Let's continue. And Abel also brought of the... Listen. Abel had other details he factored into his sacrifice. The Bible says the firstlings, that is before he received any harvest for himself, he put aside the portion of God first, of his flock, and of the fat thereof. Listen, then scripture says, and the Lord... So let's read this together. It's too important. One, two, go. And the Lord had respect unto... Wait. At this level, has God even talked about their offering yet? God respected the person first. And the Lord had respect unto a person first called Abel. God is more interested in the giver, the posture, the alignment, the mode, the state.
respect of the giver than what you have to offer him. God had respect unto Abel. This is why his sacrifice was acceptable. God respected him. Respect unto Abel and then to his offering. See, in rank, in priorities, the first thing God considered was the man Abel. Next verse. But unto Cain, you see, the man, first the man, and to his offering. They separated the man from the offering. But unto Cain, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Listen, man, I want to show us something. If you can all hear me, say amen. Next verse. You know, I envy the relationships these guys had. That God can speak to a man audibly, like the audible voice, and they replied God. You see how arrogant the reply even came. See, he said, God says, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why are thou wroth? Why are you angry? And why is their countenance falling? Next verse. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Listen, if thou, it's not if you brought something honorable. No. If you as a person, if you are doing well, would your offering not be accepted? Now you know why Jesus said, when you want to bring an offering to God, he says, and you remember that you have a heart against your brother, he says, just drop that offering first. Don't care bringing it. Run and go and make your way right. Because God receives first from the hearts of men before he collects from their hand. Listen, scripture says, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth where? This is God telling Cain. For the first time, God was warning a man. Listen, God was telling a man, I heard it's about to rain. Please, let's just bring people in as much as possible. If it's really about to rain, just bring them in. Don't get distracted, just come in. You can sit even all of these places, please, quickly. Please, protocol, ushers, be very fast with it. Said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? This is God speaking to a man. See what God warned him for. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee. Listen. If you can hear me, say amen. This is one of the first times we see God trying to encourage a man, showing him the benefits that is waiting for him if he stands and he does not allow sin to gain authority over him. God told the man that unto thee shall be his desire. This same person you are jealous of, God is telling Cain that if you stand, his desire will still be unto you and you will have rule over him. Don't be jealous. There is a nature of iniquity. There's a nature in sin. There's a nature of sin that makes that even the things that you are not supposed to be angry about, the devil will continue to make you reflect over and over about it. Next verse, quickly. Listen, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And Cain talked with Abel his... Come on, Anakazo. And Cain talked with Abel his... And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and did what? Remember when I told you that they gave the devil one title, that he was a murderer from what? Let's talk now. The beginning. Remember the last warning God just gave him. Sin is lying by your door. remember that God just told him that sin is just waiting by your door. If you overcome, you will still have rule over him, and his desire will be unto you. And sin is lying on him. Now we find that a man was exhibiting a character that is not consistent with God. Remember part of the things I told you to mark. Scripture says, of your father, the devil. Remember, they called the devil a what? A father. Come on, let's talk. Hallelujah. It's not only in Zion that there is a provision for new births. It's not only in God that there is a provision for born again, a new birth. You can be born again into darkness. The name of that process is called confirmation. And be not conformed. It's a process. It's a reaction. And what you call born again is called transformation. But be ye transformed by the renewing mind. One of these two reactions will happen to everybody that enters the earth. You will either be conformed or you will be transformed. And this is what differentiates men into cadres. Whether the person who was sent versus the person who came is the same, or the person who was sent versus the person who came is different. If you conform to the systems of this world, the expectations of Zion for you, you can't meet it. The process where men get born into the kingdom of this world is called confirmation. You can be conformed into the kingdom of God. You are given that exclusive nomenclature as a child of God, and God is your father. For as many as believe him, to them he gave power to become what? The sons of God. If you can hear me, say amen. It is also very possible for Satan to be a father, because scripture just told us that there are certain people that are of their father, the devil. When you are confirmed, the devil is called the father of liars. The devil is called the murderer who murdered from the beginning. When we are speaking about the beginning, they looked at what Cain did and they found out that this is not consistent with men. Let me show you something quickly. I pray it blesses somebody. Do you really know what Cain was fighting? I hope you know what Cain really was fighting was to stop an alignment between earth and heaven, because he located a man whose altar had an unusual alignment that the sacrifice rose directly to the throne of God. And Cain was moved. You think probably he wanted to stop his brother, but the real thing that provoked him was a sacrifice that was acceptable. And he was moved to go and stop that kind of acceptable sacrifice from ever happening again. That was what motivated the murder. The murder was not just envy. The murder was about why, how comes heaven has this kind of candidate on earth? I'll show you the genesis of all of the materials. Every time a man begins to scratch certain depths of accuracy in the kingdom, you always find out that they kill them, all kinds of persecution, all kinds of materialism. That was the same thing Satan wanted to do to Jesus, but he did not know rather that he was crucifying the King of glory. So scripture says, if they knew, they would not have crucified him. Because, listen, what motivated Jesus' death and crucifixion was the fact that Satan came to first bet him. The question Satan brought was, if you are the Son of God. In other words, if I find out one, there was a prophecy right from time that the seed of the woman will crush his head. He goes around different generations searching for that seed. Anybody he suspects is the seed, he kills the person. He saw the light of Moses, the star of a deliverer. He thought this must be that one they talked about, because he could perceive men's stars from the immortal realm. Listen, let me tell you something. If wise men, men that were only given the quality as wise, could stand in the earth and discern a star and use the knowledge of astrology to say this star represents a king, it means Satan is not ignorant of that too. we men wise? They call the serpent wise. They said, be as wise as what? Serpent. He too can discern stars. He can look at a person's star and say, there is an unusual purpose around this one. He is moved to kill anytime he suspects somebody carrying the deliverer's grace. Many of you now know why there is many attempts around your life, but you showed up as a deliverer. There is a death sentence waiting for you on the earth. Don't let him live. Don't let her live. We don't know what he is coming to deliver people from. The scripture began to show us that as much as Cain was carrying out all of these actions, when they wanted to trace what was truly wrong, they linked the whole of his action to a spirit that he had come under submission to. So they call Satan his father. Let me share something. Now, this is just a side note. Everybody just look at me, I beg you, my God. The birth of Jesus was not the first time spirits. The birth of Jesus was not the first time that a spirit will come upon a woman. Listen, pay attention. That a spirit will come around a woman and she will conceive. Remember, what Angel Gabriel told Mary was that the Holy Ghost will overshadow her. If you can hear me, say amen. Scripture says it will be like in the days of Noah. What is the day of Noah? Part of the description of the day of Noah is that they said men will be eating and drinking and giving up to marriage. Right, Bible students? There'll be marriages going on. What kind of marriages? How can marriage be the sign of the end of the world when marriage has been happening right from time immemorial? Is the Bible saying anytime you see people married, know that the world wants to end? No, he's saying the kind of marriage that was happening during the time of Noah. And what is that kind of marriage? An ungodly fraternity between spirits and men. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. So every time you see this ungodly interaction, where just believe me, I beg you by God, those species of angels are still around. They are called the watchers. From the clan of the watchers, there are different ranks of angels. Not every rank have wings. There are rank of angels that look like human beings because their place of primary assignment is the earth. Their design is to look like a man. The name of their rank is called the watchers. It is from this rank. Listen, you will know without any interaction that scripture already told us that he maketh his angels what? Spirits. If you can hear me, say amen. If an angel then left his first estate, because Jude told us, right? If an angel left his first estate and took the daughter of man, and God says he make angels spirits, he's telling you an ungodly marriage between spirits and what? Men. And he says it will be like in the day of Noah. In the end time, he says the sign of the end is that you will see men eating and drinking. Eating and drinking what? How can eating food be the sign of end time? Eating what? He's calling us deeper, 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 deeper. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us deeper.
Just next verse, next verse. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the ground. Next verse. Listen. Remember, God caused the ground with Adam first, right? And now art thou caused from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's what? From thy. Next verse. When thou tillest the ground, any labor you do, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Remember that it was the ground he tilled to bring fruits to God. Although the ground was cursed, its strength was not withdrawn. So you could still manipulate it and have some advantage. But now God says, for your hand, this hand that the earth drank blood from, if this hand tilled the ground, I share something with you, and I lie not, I stand under heaven. I know a person whose hand cannot plant a seed. I know a person that will have to beg somebody to help them use their own hand and put, if her hand by herself release that seed, it will get rotten. The earth rejects it. When she is done with all the tilling, then she go and look for a human being and say, please use your own hand and help me cast the seed. The earth has rejected her while she is alive. I know a person whose womb can never house a child. No seed can grow there. Is God talking to somebody? I know a person whose womb, no seed can grow. It must end in miscarriage. The same thing that makes seed die in her hand. When thou tillest it, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. He says, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Quickly, quickly. Next verse. Next verse. Okay, wait, go back. Let me show you something. We all believed Cain, Abel, two children of Adam, Eve. God drove Cain out of his presence. Cain went to the eastern side of Eden to set his city there. The next thing you hear was, and he took wife. Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain was for sure. Now Cain is married. Where did he get his wife from? Question now, let's talk. Let's continue quickly. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever, listen, God was going to send Cain out of his presence. God sent men out of the garden, but men were still living in the presence of God. And I'll show you why. Give me the previous verse. I think that holds the key to what we want to share. See what Cain told God. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from the face and from what? Thy face. Listen. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me, I thought it's only Cain and Abel that Adam gave birth to. I thought these are the only people that are men in the world. Who is Cain referring to as everyone who would find me if I leave this cover will kill me? Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, whosoever, that is, there are people. Whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any, means there are people, finding him should kill him. Next verse. Listen, everybody, if you're a Christian, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And Cain went out from there. See where they were living since. God drove them out of the garden, but they were living in the presence of God. They were always living in the presence. Now, for the first time, Cain's own punishment was not just falling from a garden life.
because he never tasted garden. He was living in the presence. And now God is sending him out of his presence. If you can hear me, say amen. Listen, the presence of God is not all that there is. There are other things happening outside the presence of God. There is a city of rebellion brooding. There are agendas of darkness also equally putting structures in place. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Next verse. And Cain knew his wife. From where? Knew his wife, and she conceived. Just pay attention. Come, Jesus. And bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Next verse. Unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Next verse. And Lamech took unto him two wives. This guy is the apostle of polygamy. The person who introduced it. This practice was never around before. Remember, all this thing is happening outside the presence of the Lord. It's a city that was established upon rebellion. The chronicles of rebellion. Next verse. And Adam bare Jabal, and he was the father of such that dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Next, quickly. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naaman. And Lamech said unto his wife, listen. Oh my God. Lamech called his two wives, Ada and Zillah. These are two popular names in our world. Yes. Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. You see the arrogance? Then he says, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man. Me too am a murderer. I come from a genealogy of murderers. The blood that bore me has blood crying against it. There are tendencies, there are certain proclivities that are associated with certain families. You wonder why everybody there has an unusual affinity for that thing. I can tell you the truth, by God, there are transparency in darkness too. You can be born into realities. I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Next verse. Back to the presence of God. They wanted to show you that there is a city growing outside too. But let's go and show you something also growing. A city inside. If you can hear me, say amen. Then they started another genealogy from here again that was happening in the presence of God. Then they say, and Adam knew his wife again and bare a son called his name Seth. For God said she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. For the sake of our time. Wait. Oh God. Scripture says, and this guy called Seth, that is born inside another environment called the presence of God, that when he too, he brought forth his son and called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, Enos became the apostle of intercession. He was the first person that when they gave birth to him, a technology came with him. The ability to communicate with heaven from the earth. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I hope you remember that outside the presence of the Lord, there's another family also growing there. and they are known for murder. Till this day is the battle of those two families. A set of people that grew in the presence of God. A set of people whose house address is the secret place of the Most High. Versus certain people who are proudly and arrogantly endorsed by darkness. It's these two people that will clash on the face of the globe. Jesus says, I will build my church. He called them a church to separate them from another category of people. He says, another group of people called the gates of hell. Why did he call certain human beings gates of hell? Because it is through them that men can go to hell. Please, can you help me with 2,000 naira? No. But I can buy alcohol for you worth 10,000 naira. Gates of hell. Sir, please. I don't know if you can help me complete this money. Let me just write my jam. Well, you know what to do. Certain men and women who has availed themselves to all kinds of appetites of wickedness, that it is through them that men fall into sin and enter very deep chambers of hell. It remains a clash between the sons of God and the sons of Satan, the devil. There's a city outside. There's another city happening called the presence of the Lord. Like I said, for the sake of our time, we have not started marching orders. We have just built foundation today. By the grace of God, next week we'll go into marching orders properly. Fortunately, saints of God, Genesis chapter 6, quickly. Let me just tie it up here. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Everybody, if you fear God, you are a Christian, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Next verse. That the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were, and they took them wives of all which they, sons of God. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I met a watcher angel once. I met him at Enugu. I was through with my ministerial assignment. I was going to come back. Came before the cup to hold it. A strange man that I didn't know from anywhere showed up and began to engage me in a conversation. I tried as much as possible to not flow with him. I was just giving one man answer, that kind of answer that just shuts the conversation up. And he kept trying to engage me the more. He got talking. Then he looked at me and then he said, that he would like us to travel together so that we will continue talking on this line. Continue something that I'm not interested in. And the challenge of this is, his suggestion is that our ticket is attached or linked to two different buses. And he was asking that me, I be the one to relinquish my own seat and then come and join him in his car so that we can continue talking. Well, to cut the long story short, I wanted to pass on his offer, but something told me in my spirit. So I went, of course, it was quite a rowdy scene. They insulted me first from there, then they changed it and gave me a ticket for the other car. And we entered the bus. I thought he was coming to Kaduna like myself. If you know Enugu well, we're just going and it didn't go far. There's one place they call New Heaven. That's where he decided to drop. He dropped with the
pretext that he forgot something.
He forgot something.
And he knows if people do not refund his money back, and he cannot travel without carrying it. So, my guy, anytime now, you see, he dropped. I didn't collect his number because I was not interested in that conversation. But he dropped. Now, to be honest, my boss, that was the boss that was supposed to leave the park first before this one, only for us to drive by and go and find it on one side of the road with leaves on some passengers dead by the side of the road, and few people who were alive. No ambulance has come yet. It was they by themselves that found a way to maybe come to a place. Those who had injuries just sat down. Those who were dead, where you could see all the cuts and all kinds. You know, I was going to say, hey, I'm lucky. But the Lord reminded me. He says, many have entertained angels unknowingly. There is nothing, you see, sometimes God will plant a thought in your heart and you will be so insensitive to the beckoning of the Spirit that you will miss his deliverance. This is why he has a category of functionaries called watchers. Men, if they look like men, like women, like girls, like a boy, but they will show up in your life at kairos moments, making sure that the agenda of God for that destiny is not aborted. Some of them has advised you in a bus. They gave you an advice. You thought it was a stranger. That thing you were confused about, somebody talked about it carelessly in a car. And you just, it's not a man, a watcher. They are among us. They dress like you. I'm from this category of people. They intermingle, they relate with us almost on a daily basis. Until this day, we were instructed and warned that we should be careful because many people have entertained angels knowingly. So the difference between life and death was a stranger for me. A stranger. Someone will pray one prayer right now and say, Lord, no matter how stubborn I get, always make sure I align with your will. If it means interfering with my desires, if it means bending my own purposes, if you find that the path ahead is not good, Lord, force me out of the path of temptation.
dash your feet against a stone. You may want to thank God for all of the spiritual help you have received that you didn't know of. your sin notwithstanding, the multitudes of your transgression. For he set a system around you, always making sure that you finish strong, making sure that the wickedness of the enemy does not prevail, making sure that your going out and your coming in is preserved. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? If men were God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. of you feel like crying, cry before him. Some of you, the joy of the Holy Ghost, you feel like laughing, don't fight it, laugh before him. Ushers, help them, help them, help them. The hand of the Spirit himself touching people, various expressions of the Spirit. I'm seeing joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing joy, joy in the Holy Ghost. Help them, help them, help them, help them. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Of God touching people now, various expressions of the Spirit. Ushers, go around, please. Various expressions of the Spirit. Joy in the Holy Ghost springing forth. Brokenness impacted to men. It's happening now upon men. The brooks of your spirit is breaking forth. You can't contain it. It's not possible. Something bigger than you has broken inside you. Expressions of the Spirit. The hand of God is decorating three people at the back. Three people. I'm seeing three guys at the back. The hand of God is decorating them. He's putting a cold sensation in your heart, making you come down to respect His ordinance. A new garment, a new garment. I'm seeing a new garment being released for someone. A garment. A garment like a veil, a priestly veil. A priestly veil being released for someone. Enter your priestly ordination now by the power of the Spirit. Enter your priestly ordination now, now, now. A garment, a priestly garment. Enter, enter, enter. Now, now, enter. A prophet is born. The eyes that see and the ears that hear. Right now, come upon them by the power of the Spirit. The eyes that see and the ears that hear. Now, 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 by the hand of the Lord. Please help them, help them. This prophetess that I see a prophetess in the spirit right now by the hand of the Lord. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, upon them now. Mighty luminaries in the kingdom, women, women of whom the hand of the Lord has confirmed their ordination. I open your ears, I open your eyes by the power of the Spirit. Please help them, help them. Eternity is swallowing time. This is why you are happy. There is joy in your spirit. The things that once worried you, they no longer have a place in the realm of eternity. Eternity swallows time. Pioneers, pioneers. There's an anointing for pioneers, people who God has ordained to bet and start various strategic moves. This song will quicken you. It will call you from all the places you are scattered in the crowd. Identify them by your spirit, oh God. Pioneers, pioneers. I can see with the eyes of my spirit. I can hear the sound of a new church marching. Yes, I know these are the days of power. They are coming from above. Oh,
Certain things you can't do for yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Trust you've been blessed by this message. To know more about us, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.emi. You can also follow us on Twitter at @anakazo_emi. Connect with us on Instagram at @anakazo_emi. For more of our messages, please visit www.forshared.com. God bless you.